First of all, listener homegirls, welcome back. Season 5 of the New Chitlin' Circuit. Brr, 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 brr.
Welcome back.
I really wanted to start off this season with two special things. So I have our traditional cold open, which I will get into, but I've also been working on this poem for the last 29 years. Started writing it in about 95. I was still
you
in utero.
You were born in 96.
I just said I was still in utero. I was a gifted fetus. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to recite this to welcome us all back to this space together before this review, okay?
Yeah.
It'll be fast, I swear. Pretty woman, wonder where my secret lies. I ain't cute. Oh, built to suit a fashion model size. But when I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say, it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a listener homegirl phenomenally. Phenomenal listener homegirl, that's me. So that's for all of our listener homegirls out there. Thank you so much for 5 seasons. Yes.
I just wish y'all could experience this the way I do. I don't know what she's going to say when we come in here. And then she doesn't let me say anything about it. Like, we're not even... You wrote that yourself.
Yeah, I started writing
all of it.
95. All of it. Every word.
Wow. That really, mm-hmm. That poem really has potential. You probably should.
Thank
should
you.
Publish that.
I think I should. I want to take it on the road. And I hope, you know, flip that for a side hustle sometime down the road. I think I could be the next poet laureate of this country.
Might could.
Yeah, I think so. I might be on the Oprah Winfrey show. You don't know. Right. She'll bring that back for me.
Mm. What's okay. Your cold open, girl?
For our cold open, I wanted to bring us in with a name that line because
yes,
it relates.
I love this.
Yeah. And here we go. Another little white girl that fell down the well. 50 black people get their ass beat by police to death. But the whole world gotta stop for one little white girl down the hall. Cindy! Thank you.
I love that. That is Scary Movie 3.
Yes, Scary Movie 3.
Mm-hmm. Miss Regina Hall is Scary Movie 3.
Yes,
I am so glad. We're so connected, just mm-hmm. mentally, you know, mm-hmm. because as I watched this movie that we're going to talk about today, I was like, Regina Hall would have been so good in this.
So good in this.
That's literally what I was thinking. Because, you know, I just finished watching The Best Man, Final Chapters.
Uh-huh. Final Chapters. What an
she
actress.
Ate this down.
Miss Hall, yeah. Gave us a little bit of that comedy flair of hers, but the drama, it would have really sold. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to get into this today, and I'm happy to be back here with you, Sid, and with our listener homegirls. So why don't you share what we watched this week?
Yes, this week, to kick off season five of the New Chitlin' Circuit, our podcast is going to kindergarten, y'all. That's kind of crazy.
Crazy.
About to learn how to read and write. We reviewed The Angry Black Girl and Her Monster, released last year, currently available to stream on Prime Video / All Black, written and directed by Bomani J. Story, and starring Leia DeLeon Hayes, Denzel Whitaker, Chad L. Coleman, and Amani Summer.
All right, let's start the show.
The New Chitlin' Circuit.
Welcome back to season 5 of the New Chitlin' Circuit. My name is Lex.
And I'm Sid.
And each week we watch a Black independent movie. Why? Because we love them. And we're going to get things started with our 60-second challenge where I tell you the plot of the movie in 60 seconds or less. And I ain't even going to spoil it for you in case you want to go watch it. Then we'll get into our general thoughts. And after that, we'll walk through the movie scene by scene, spoilers and all. Sid, how do we end every episode?
Y'all know how we do. Our phenomenal listener homegirls. At the end of each and every episode, we nominate somebody for our highly coveted Who Came to Act Award. Okay, this is, I guess we're going 5 seasons of this award now. Have some great previous winners, and going to have another pool at the end of this year, at the end of this season, another pool of winners, but only one can be named our Who Came to Act Award winner for the season. All right, y'all. You know how we do. We start each and every episode with our 60-second challenge, where Alexis must explain the plot of the film we're reviewing in 60 seconds or less. This week's challenge is brought to us by Brenda Meeks and Scooby-Doo and the Gang. All right, let me go ahead and start our clock. Let's get going now.
Okay. So there is a teenage black girl named Vicaria. And she has her brother just got murdered in gang violence, and she lives with her dad. Bam. And they live in these like low rise, like apartment buildings. She is a scientific prodigy. Like she's a whiz with it. So that causes problems at the school because they don't like when black girls be knowing stuff at the white school. But in her personal time, she has this lab that she has created back behind the apartments, where she is back there, girl, building a Frankenstein. And she is taking up dead bodies and trying to stitch them together to cure death, because she thinks death is a disease. And it really only gets crazier from there. That's what I have.
6 seconds left. We're starting off the season strong. Listen. Yeah. You had your best... Yeah, your best series yet last season. So let's try and beat it. You know, each and every season we get better.
I just do what I could do. Can't do no more.
Well, do what you can do to not get 3 strikes. I mean, that's just the rules here.
See, it's all, you want to start the season like that, talking about kicking somebody off the show.
Those are the
anyway.
Because I feel like you forgot the rules. We've been gone for a few months. You know, just have to refresh the memory. Sure. That's all.
Now that we know what went on in the movie, let's get on into our general thoughts on the angry black girl and her monster. Before we get into the review, want to take a second to shout out y'all, the listener homegirls. We took that little break. I'm feeling refreshed. I'm feeling renewed now that we're back this season. How you feeling, Sid?
I'm feeling rejuvenated, revitalized, energized.
Yeah. Already. Let go, let flow. That's how it was given.
Yeah. So Boston CEO.
He's Boston CEO. So we want to thank y'all very much for your patience. And we know you guys have been waiting for new reviews. So we are back with it. Wanna shout out listener homegirl Brianna C, who recommended the holiday movie that we watched at the end of season 4. And we were flabbergasted by the time travel plot line and the light skinification of the family in that movie. You should go back and listen to that review if you haven't. And Brianna reached out to let us know, because she recommended the movie, that she did not properly warn us, but she also thought the light skinification was crazy. So shout out to you, girl. For the rest of our listener homegirls, if you have a movie that you want to suggest to us, just go over to our website, thenewchitlincircuit.com, and you can see the suggestion box right up top. And if you want to sign up for our newsletter, which is just, I think it's just a sound decision to know what's going on.
It is.
You know, it's one email in your inbox every month to let you know what we're about to review, and a little note from me and Sid. You can do that on our website as well, thenewchitlincircuit.com. Let's get on with the review. So Sid, what did you think of the angry black girl and her monster?
Well, first of all, I am just as surprised as the listener homegirls are that you got me to agree to watch a scary movie this early in the season. But I'm even more surprised that it was on both of our lists as like top of mind to review. Because y'all know I don't do scary. It's just not who I am. I say it every season. I enjoy a restful night's rest, sleep. Okay. I don't like to be disturbed in any way before I go to bed. And this is when I actually watched at night. So it was extra scary. So there we go. That's first up. This was actually, I watched it at night. I watched it after I was finished working. So I was like, all right, let me go ahead and hunker down and watch this movie, because we're recording tomorrow. And jump scare. I had to really cleanse my palate after. It was actually really, really scary.
It was actually kind of scary.
It was actually scary. Like, this movie, you mentioned it in your 60-second challenge, but it's a Frankenstein-esque plot. to it, but it also is like Frankenstein meets like Leprechaun meets like Tales from the Hood meets like all those like older like meets Candyman, those older like black horror films that are actually really scary. So shout out to writer director Bomani J. Story. We watched a Christian horror flick last season.
Why do you have that? I'm trying to,
because I had to bring it up. I had to. There was no way I could bring it up.
Record wiped clean. It was not my fault for picking that movie.
Well, that I'm just saying that movie was supposed to have been scary, but it just wasn't. It was more ridiculous than scary. This movie was actually like terrifying, frightening, suspenseful. Had me at the edge of my seat. I ate like gross. I like had popcorn all over the floor when I finished watching the movie because I was like jumping out of my seat. I was scared. I think my neighbors were concerned. So, shout out to y'all for that. You got me scared. So I had to end my night watching my wife and kids for something pleasant so I can go to bed. But yeah. All that to say, I did enjoy my watch of the film, even though it was scary. I thought the story was really interesting. Frankenstein was actually one of my favorite kind of like old stories I read in like high school English. So I was like excited to kind of see that plot come up in the film. So I want to talk about it more. What did you think about the angry black girl and her monster?
Yeah. Well, thank you for enduring the scare because it was kind of scary. I'm not easily shaken up, but it was kind of scary. But we had to open up our return for season 5 with this movie because I was talking to you and it was on my list. It was on your list independently. So like, it was like, the homegirls are probably watching this too. So when I sat down to watch it, the things that popped out to me, numberist of one, is just the commitment to like the set design, the makeup, the costumes, like very, very, high effort film. Yeah, and it paid off. I think
for sure
I had a lot of problems with some of the themes in the movie, but just straight up entertainment, I can't say I was bored or not on the edge of my seat the whole time because I was like, oh my god, what's gonna happen? I was scared to move. I was like, ah. So it was startling me. It was some very effective jump scares, some stellar makeup. I give it pretty good marks because it's hard to find a black indie like horror that's actually like committed to the bit and like really pulls it off.
Horror is hard. I feel like in my mind I haven't done any production stuff for horror films, but I feel like horror films cost a lot of money to make it feel and actually like scare the hell out of somebody. So shout out to the team behind this movie. I'm not sure what the budget was, but it paid off.
Yeah. Whatever the budget was, I think they got all their money worth. Like that's how I feel about it. Whatever the budget was, it looked well spent. I didn't see any waste in the film. So yeah. Okay. Well, we know how we feeling about it. Let me tell you this, listen, homegirl, if you're still on the fence about whether you should watch this movie, this movie is for you if you used to, with your friends or with your cousins, be standing in the mirror talking about some Bloody Mary. This is for you.
Oh, I sure do that with my cousins.
Go ahead that's and put good. This on if that was you when you was a little girl.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Go ahead, watch it. Even if you're scary like me, this is for you. This truly.
Yeah, man. All right. Let's get on into the scenes. Let's walk through it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Here at the new Chilling Circuit, we like to start with the first scene of the movie. And this one opens up classic black film fashion. Get some narration from our protagonist. Am I saying it? Vicaria is her name?
Vicaria. Yeah, that's right.
Vicaria. That's cute.
I don't know if it was like a play on words, because you know in Frankenstein, the scientist who made Frankenstein's name was like Victor. And then later on, I don't know if that was the thing. So they named her Vicaria. Like,
it felt like a knowing nod to Frankenstein.
Yeah, this movie to Frankenstein.
So Vicaria is giving us some narration about this disease that's spreading through her family, through her community. And what she believes is the disease is death is the disease. So her mother passed away. And then we see the gang, you know, these red bandanas all throughout the apartment neighborhood. You know, this is spreading through. Her brother contracted this disease in his violent gang activity, and he ends up succumbing to a gunshot, like gunshot violence, gun violence. And then she sees that her dad is falling to the disease too because he's strung out. This amount of trauma on this young lady is leading her to like be obsessed with trying to solve death and prevent death. You know, so we see the first thing that opens up is, you know, we get a flashback to when her brother got shot and we see her dragging the body off somewhere.
And I'm like, at first I thought it was like a fantasy thing in her mind. Like if she could, you know, get her brother's body and do something. But I, then it clicked to me. I said, oh no, she really did drag this dead body off the street into this abandoned laboratory, as Dexter would say, that she has created.
She got all type of shit. And I just want to, just a shout out up top to the set design for this laboratory. It was really like layered, the amount of like props and like, you know, set pieces they had in there. I loved the, that was my favorite set in the whole movie.
Same, actually. It was really well done.
So we see that she be doing that in her after hours, but she gets up in the morning and puts on her school uniform because she going to school. She's in high school. And there's this little girl. Jada. This little, Jada's character, Jada is this little girl who lives next door to Vicaria. Jada's character, that's going to keep coming around because we're going to be talking about Jada a lot.
I'm going to start off top giving Jada, the actress who played Jada, Imani Summer, her props, her flowers. I started, I think, season one because I have a Richter scale of how I rate child, you know, actors. From like, you know, okay, up to China Ann McClane because like that, like she's like premier childhood actress for me. And Miss Imani, she's it was giving China Ann McClane levels of talent here. Okay, that's, I just want to start there. Really, what a fantastic performance from her in this movie.
Absolutely. Jada is starting off, you know, just normal little kid neighbor type of situation. Vicaria is walking to school in the morning and Jada stops her to ask her science questions because Jada is trying to learn all of the periodic table, right? So she's just elements. Naming out elements, that's what they call. She's naming out elements, and Vicaria is just like, she know them all. She's like, oh, chromium.
And I'm like, uranium. I said, uranium. I haven't looked at a periodic table since 10th grade. I didn't remember a lot of them.
I know potassium. That one is.
It was potassium.
K, right?
Oh, that's true. No, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. O is oxygen. Right. H is hydrogen.
BM.
Like, BM. We were not children left behind. Okay. We were too. BM.
So,
shout out to DeKalb County.
Well, for real, Vicaria know all these elements, and Jada is calling her, her nickname for her is, oh, the mad scientist. Help me with my science homework. And I'm like, okay, why are they calling her the mad scientist? That's weird. And we quickly find out.
Find out because she's a teensy bit mad. Because we also find out there's like, it's like a neighborhood lore about a body snatcher going around. So when like people are dying in the neighborhood, all of a sudden the bodies disappear. Like the police don't have them. The morgue don't have them. Somebody is taking dead bodies of like neighbors and family members and stuff.
And this is my first point, which is her ass is the villain.
Because
think about it. If imagine this whole movie, except instead of a teenage black girl, it's an old white man. You would easily be like, oh,
you're
no.
so
His
right.
His ass is the villain.
You're right.
The villain.
It's true.
Snatching it's up true. People's relatives, dead bodies. So when she's not doing that, she's at the schoolhouse though. And she goes to a white private school and she is beefing instantly with her white teacher. Mostly because Vicaria asks, is just not, just shut up and take your lesson. Like she keep trying to finish the teacher's lecture and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And outdo the teacher's lesson. She's, okay, well, I know that you're saying, you know, this is great, but cancer is not the disease. It's death.
And that goes, don't even make sense.
It don't. But like, imagine being, Vicaria got to be like 16, 17 years old. In her mind, think about your mind at 16, yes. 17. If you have read some things, you've done your own little research, you're going to go to human anatomy class come Monday and tell your teacher, okay, Miss Girl, I get it. We're talking about this. But what I'm trying to tell you, I've done the research. Okay. I too know. I don't have a college degree. I'm not proficient in any of this. I
don't have a diploma.
But I know. I don't have a diploma. But I have a thesis, okay? Mm-hmm. And I have an hypothesis.
Her damn hypothesis. This
girl. Death is the disease.
Girl, it makes no sense. And I'm not going to get on her too much about that, because actually now that I'm talking about it with my homegirls, when I was 15, 16, I was an avid Tumblr user, and the things that I had been exposed to, which granted, most of which were just history, like were just facts and stuff, like learning about, like, wait a minute, what was our military doing in Venezuela? Why? What happened?
How was they funding that war? A lot of that.
Because when you say coup in history class, they make it sound like it was an accident. But
that's That's like,
you need to tell me the CIA said they did that.
Yes, they did.
So I did get into it with my white A-push teacher, because I was just trying to add context to what he was saying.
To what's going on.
Maybe I took it too far.
See, exactly. So we all did.
I could see, but I wasn't stitching people up in no laboratory.
That's true. I was not snatching bodies. I was not going back to, I'm going to just exclusively say laboratory this episode. I was not going back to the laboratory and, you know, using my damn knife and taking off slits of skin and stuff and sewing hair back onto people. No, ma'am. Yeah.
So let's get to that part. So she is in the school. The teacher, obviously, this is race horror, BTW, y'all. So the teacher, white lady, calls security to get her escorted out of the class because they, what? Because she talking? Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah. You know?
She not harming anybody. She just let her get her points out and move on with your lesson, lady.
Like, right. And if you can't manage that, like, if you can't do classroom management to, these are teenagers, you know, and she's just talking out of turn. It's not like she's up. I went to public school. I did not grow up on TV. Rich my whole life. You know? So I've seen some shit.
I have seen. I'm not going to name names, but I had to be in 9th or 10th grade. A fellow classmate of mine, he physically fought one of my teachers.
Oh.
a male classmate fought one of our male teachers. Like, they went to blows in class.
Oh, my God. That's the type of shit that be happening, see?
Yeah.
And this white lady teacher was not encountering any such, like, any issue of the sort. You just have a student who's a little overzealous. You know, but she calls security, and security like escorts her out, like grabs her up and escorts her out. So
breaks her glasses, stomps all on her, puts her in like handcuffs. It was just rough on the girl for no reason.
It was brutal and unnecessary.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they get her daddy up there to talk to him, and he's like standing up for his daughter, like, hey, do not put don't have these people putting their hands on my daughter. If this happens again, then teach. Like, you the teacher, you figure it out. Like, please.
Right. Don't be calling me up here. And I want to put a pin here because I love the actor who played her father, Chad L. Coleman. If you remember, he's also Cuddy from The Wire. Remember, he was like a former soldier. Got back after he did his little bid or whatever. He was working for Avon and them. Realized he was boxing gym. Yeah, realized it wasn't for him. He couldn't save the young kids, you know, going back to that way. So he opened up the gym and tried to help the community. His story arc was quite beautiful.
Yeah. I really liked him in The Wire. So we see that's going on in the household. That's how they talk about black kids in school, in public school. What's going on in the household?
True.
So we see how that is. And so when she comes back home, now we see her, we see what's going on inside this laboratory. We see that she has got, it looks literally just like Frankenstein. She has like a body strapped up to this pivoting table. All these wires and stuff. It was scary.
Yep, hooked up to it. Electricity, like that big like electricity switch that you see in like cartoons where you gotta like pull the lever. It's a lever. Pull the lever, Kronk. She got one of them in the lab. Yeah.
And it's, I just think, where the hell she get all this stuff from?
And how does nobody know that this is here? How does she have this locked up like this in the back of like the projects? Yeah. What is going on?
And you know, and I'm going, it's not the new Chitlin' Circuit if Lex doesn't just overcomplicate the theory and themes here. But I think, because, okay, I just watched a movie called Prisoners. Okay. Have you ever heard of that movie?
Okay. I have not. Who's in that?
About kidnapped white girl in the suburbs, right? Okay. And the thing about the movie is it shows a lot of just like, if you take a drone and fly it over the suburb that you or I grew up in, it's just like houses and trees. It's just nothingness for so far into just miles and miles of just driveways. Yeah. And so part of the movie is like, this whole shit is like this because of this like isolated type of environment. And like it's unintentionally a commentary on suburbia and the false sense of security when really all this isolation makes it easier to hurt people.
To commit, crime. Yeah, it's true.
Right. So in this scenario, I think her being able to do all of this, her being able to snatch up bodies of young black people, her being able to have a whole laboratory in an abandoned building, like this being able to go on for so long, this monster, when we get to that part, is roaming around. Is partially because of the environment, like an impoverished area. Nobody's looking, nobody's checking. It's like a result of this environment where it's so much abandoned infrastructure and like just you can get away with a lot like these types of things.
True. That's true. Yeah. I think it's a good point. Good point. Cause I'm rewatching Snowfall. Like in the later seasons or whatever, there's like there's a shootout at Franklin's house. And his father gets hit. And he's like, you hear that? And even those sirens. Nobody cares. Mm. Like, no one's even coming. It's just a part of the everyday now. It's like, dang. Mm-hmm. Like, rounds just went off in somebody's house. Multiple. Like, there's a man with a shotgun. It's crazy. And no one even blinked an eye. Or thought, let's call an ambulance. Somebody could be hurt. So that's a good call out.
It's bad. Put a lighter example. I did just rewatch The Brothers. Where the same thing happened. It was like where Shardy was gunning down Shamar Moore. And it was like, ain't nobody coming. She's standing outside with a blicky. Ain't nobody called the police. None of the neighbors.
Not at all. That's true. Because what did he do first before I called the police? I'm going to peep out my window.
If I see a lady in a wedding dress holding a gun, something happened. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's hear her out.
I don't mind my business until, I see something crazy go on. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Stay away from the windows.
So, that's what I was thinking about. She goes to the laboratory. We see all this stuff. And the killings and the crime in the neighborhood is still continuing. So a child gets killed in this neighborhood that very night.
Yeah.
A child that she knew. A little boy who was like, running around and wrapped up just by association with this gang that's running in the neighborhood. Yep. And he gets killed. And then she kind of like has this moment where she's like, she's just so traumatized by all this loss and death that she's like, she finally has a eureka that she could use all the electricity to wake up her Frankenstein.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was very much like, I keep bringing up Dexter's Laboratory, but it just felt like Dexter and his little evil laugh. GD says my laboratory. I have plans for the night. It was very much like, I said, oh, hell, she about to go back here and flip the switch and bring this body to life.
She did. That's exactly what she did.
She did.
So she done hooked up this damn. So first we get this just gruesome scene of her stitching together these body parts and stuff. And to me, it looked like, I don't know if they got like some like real like deer flesh or like some, like different animals or and stuff.
Something, I don't know.
But it looks so real.
Could you use, I wonder, anyone who listened to this show and works like stunt or art set costume? I feel like they use cadavers on like for certain things. Do they not?
I'm
I don't know.
Sorry?
Is that against the law? Is that against the law? I don't know. I'm asking.
I don't think it is. I don't know.
Okay. I know they use it for science purposes, like med students, like they have cadavers to practice and stuff. But like, is that also a thing in film and TV? Or like, if you want to make it look real, do you use a cadaver? I'm just asking. I don't know.
I'm horrified like by that idea. I think more specific question is, what is the cheapest way to achieve this visual effect that they achieved?
Okay, like, that's true.
That's why I went straight to
cadaver's
maybe
probably
it's a
expensive.
Deer. Right. Because okay. then you probably need releases and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah. That's
if you
true.
Just get some
that's a human
deer,
body still.
Pig skin, you know, it looked real, whatever they had.
It looked real, whatever they did. Squishy. Yeah, I don't know.
I did not like that.
The sound
at all.
Was very like squishy, like hearing her like thread the needle between like flesh.
Yes.
Oh God. Ooh. And that's when I started shaking in my boots. I said, oh, she's building a monster.
And that's when I said, oh my God, Sydney's gonna fucking flip.
I almost stopped watching. I was like, I don't know why I want to do this. It's 6:30, it's dark outside. It ain't summertime yet, so the sun ain't out. I almost stopped. I said, I'm gonna keep going because we gotta record
that
tomorrow.
Scene
and
was gruesome. Yeah. So
it
she
was.
Stitches up this just monster.
A monster.
She hooks up, you know, if you're from the South or from a rural area, if you wasn't raised in an urban area, them big Eiffel Tower looking electric
Iron Giant looking things.
Yes. She done hooked up. I'm sorry, that's the only way I can describe this. She done went out there and hooked up her damn laboratory bed thing with his ass on it. Done hooked that up to her damn lever. And so she hits the button, knock out all the power in the neighborhood so that she could raise this motherfucker up.
From the dead.
From the dead.
Oh,
dead on dead, because it's multiple bodies.
You're right. Double dead. Ooh, double homicide.
Double dead. That's what we got. That is literally the summation of this review. Double dead.
Double dead.
So she do all of that. The lights flick. This sequence is really, it's just evil mad scientist type shit. She's doofus schmurks.
She is. Minus the evil laugh, because she scared herself. Because this was crazy.
She should have did an evil laugh. They should have took a couple takes just to test it out. But he gets his big ass up off the bed. This wakes him up. And he's just sitting there breathing and walking.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, Chris, it's okay. I won't hurt you.
So when he reached out that bloody hand, and I said, oh, no. That is not your brother. I knew
hell
that.
Hell no. No. Yeah, I don't know. My hands are up. Like somebody has a gun on me. I don't know why.
Don't hurt me, please. Please don't hurt me.
Don't hurt me. And for me, this movie is so entertaining. But for me, the theme and the things that the movie was trying to achieve fell off the tracks starting right here. Okay? Because she has achieved her, she has cured death. She has raised up her brother's body. She has achieved the things she wanted to achieve 15 minutes into the movie. So where things become, to me, it's the first thing she go do. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Sydney. The first thing she go do with her damn monster is literally, and I kid you not, go hit a lick. Why is that the first thing on mine? What is going on?
So I get what you're saying. But I had a different I guess like POV about like
the
story. So I don't think it fell out the tracks. I think it was kind of what every what every teenage person thinks they can do to try and solve the big, like thinking that how I can solve the biggest problem in my life, but how in reality they don't think about all the other things that could go wrong of trying to solve the biggest problem in your life. So you trying to quote unquote cure death, sure, like she did solve that problem, but what she didn't think about was, okay, whatever thing that I've brought, or person I've brought back is no longer that person anymore. She didn't think about how the community would react to that, how she could even bring this undead being back into everybody else's life. She didn't think about that at all. And then like the consequences of it. Like, so now you've created, like, it's not a person, this is a whole monster who is going to then commit more death on your community.
Why?
She didn't think about it though. I thought she thought like bringing back her brother would solve. What?
What she said when he got up off the table and she's sitting up there hugging his big bloody ass. She goes, I'm gonna show you who killed you and I'm gonna show you what's going wrong. But like,
he got shot in the front.
He knew who killed him.
He knew who killed him. That's
it's not a mystery.
Well, I think she, like, I guess because we find out later, like, your involvement with Kango, the lead gang member, he the reason why you did. Like, don't just be blaming, like, the rival gang who shot you up. It's his fault, is what I took from it.
Okay. I could fuck with that. But why then does she leave straight out the laboratory, don't make no stops, and goes to rob the drug dealers? I guess, I don't know, she wants to just get the drugs out the community?
Maybe so, yeah. I don't know. Cause a ruckus. Like, hey, I got Chris out here for y'all. Like, you know, let's go get these drugs. It's going to raise some alarms.
But I don't think she knew Chris was going to be violent. Because when she does that,
that's true. Yeah, that's true.
They go and take the drugs out the stash. And then Kurt, the drug dealer, comes and is like, oh, what's going on? He pulls out his gun and he shoots Chris. Obviously, Chris is made out of... It don't bother him none.
He don't die. So it really Chris like boosts him up a little bit.
Yeah. And then Kurt asks, get dealt with. But Chris chokes him out. Yeah. Chris the monster chokes him out. And then Vicaria is scared and runs away.
She didn't realize her brother is not a monster. Not her brother.
Get your fucking dog, bitch. You cannot leave this.
What is she supposed to do with him? She don't know now.
She pissed me off because my thing is, if you were that about the science life, why you didn't do no trials first? Why you didn't try and get that road?
Maybe ain't no dead squirrels or something she could have, you know, brought back and saw if they acted crazy. I don't know.
That street, that is a high traffic street in the middle of a rural place. It's plenty of damn armadillos and possums and shit getting hit out on that road. Why didn't she do trials?
That's probably like the reason for horror. It got to be like over, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like over exaggerated. Like I need the problem to be as big as possible to put fear into the audience. And some people like to be scared. I don't.
Yeah. But this it still goes off the rails for me because now the whole rest of the movie is just Chris the monster being scary and running around. And I don't know what Vicaria wants anymore or what she's trying to do. I don't know.
I think she still thinks she can solve death. Like maybe bring Chris around and be like, hey, Chris, it's me, your sister Vicaria. Remember me? This is our dad. We love you. This is your girlfriend. She's having your baby. We love you. Come back to us.
But
he's
going to be like, Edward Scissorhands.
That's what I think that's what she think in her mind. But Chris is a big monster.
Yeah. And
this movie also, I was going to remind me of, I guess, kind of like her trying to process her grief by undoing what like just can't be undone. Yeah. Have you seen that movie See You Yesterday on Netflix? It premiered like 2019. Okay, yes, the time travel type, same thing. So like super smart girl, kind of like a mad scientist, her brother's murdered, and she like invents a time travel machine and tries to go back to stop the moment he's murdered so that her life can go back on track. And every time she goes back, something else goes wrong. Like her friend gets like killed at one point. Like one of like a grocery store guy gets murdered. Everything happens and she keeps going back. And at the end of the movie, she can only say, oh my God, I have to jump again and again and again. And it's like, no girl, like you can't solve death.
Can't do that.
But in her mind, something, and that was one of the saddest movies I've ever seen. That movie was so sad. Yeah,
it was very sad.
Yeah.
Which leads us to something that we will have to address here on today, Sydney.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that somebody somewhere, and a lot of somebodies, is going to be like, why it got to be a trauma movie? Why this is not like, why it got to be that? Why she, you know, why it got to be about police shootings and gangs and drugs?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can see it both ways on this one, on this movie.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of gore here in this movie. It's a lot of imagery of black people getting shot.
It is, yeah.
And it's rough to sit through. And the movie could work just fine without that layer. Because the white people just had a movie where the girl made a Frankenstein boyfriend for herself.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you see that one came out last year?
I remember that.
So, you know, it's possible. But at the same time, you know, it's stuff that actually goes on. Like that apartment complex.
It happens.
That Vicario is being raised in, which looks eerily similar to the set of Flo Millie's Week. Like that type
it of. It actually does.
That type of Southern apartment complex.
Wow, that's a good call out. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But like a place like that is riddled with poverty and no other options in drugs and violence as a result.
But that's just like, do people consider Candyman to be like a trauma?
Exactly.
Because like there, it's based in what, Cabrini Green, like a well-known and like, it's like violent like project in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
And now Candyman is terrorizing the people of those like project houses. Is that a trauma movie? I just consider it a horror movie.
And not only is he doing that in the projects, but the origin story of Candyman is like, oh, there was a slave and like, it's like slavey.
Right.
So it's
it is.
Double.
It is.
So like, but is that a trauma movie, you know? And I honestly, by the end of this movie, I wish that that's kind of how it went. Like I wished that it was just a bit more, I just felt like the Vicaria as a character didn't get what it felt like she needed from the setup, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I would have enjoyed seeing Chris, this is just his origin story. He's the Candyman.
As a monster. Like, he's the Candyman now.
I would have enjoyed that just fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's always complex when people say that. This one, I can see it a little bit more than other ones. But at the same time, like you said, is Candyman a trauma movie by that definition?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe it's like, I guess when Candyman came out, like, I guess like the theme of trauma and I guess the wider cultural zeitgeist was like black people and welfare and rada. And I guess now, like when people think of black people in America and our trauma, it's police brutality, interracial violence, et cetera, et cetera. So I see what you're saying, both sides. I could see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, back from the break, Chris's ass is running loose and causing chaos in this apartment complex. And not only, so now the drugs is gone. So now the head drug dealer, Kango, is it Kango or Kango?
Mm-hmm. Kango.
Kango. He is looking for his stuff and blaming Vicaria because everybody's
walked off with all of his stuff. And he's trying to get it back.
Your ability to tie classic black feminist poetry to every fucking movie we watch is really remarkable. Intasaki Shange is somehow related to this fucking zombie movie.
Listen, we went to the same university. Okay. It's in me. I can't help it. Okay. We read a lot.
Stay
I had to become a womanist in my four years.
Sydney's gonna relate fucking Audre Lorde to a.
Oh, I sure will. I will find it. Just wait for it.
Yeah. So somebody almost walked away with all his stuff. And and now Vicaria ass is having to make drugs.
Like, she is.
She knows.
She chemistry. Is cutting product. Yeah. She know how to cut it right.
What the fuck? So
Miss Mad Scientist.
This is happening. These gangsters are looking for Chris because they think he's just a big nigga that robbed them. And they don't know what's really going on.
What's going on.
Yeah. And Vicaria, I can't tell if she's looking for him or not. Like, I don't know.
I think she is scared as hell. I think she wants to find him to, like, either talk him down somehow, which wouldn't happen because, like, he's a monster.
He don't even speak English like that.
Yeah. Or she's trying to buy herself some time to figure out, how do I get rid of him? Or, like, is that even possible? Because everybody in this neighborhood is going to die if you don't.
We lost the formula at that point. Because if she's our mad scientist, I want to see her flipping through them notebooks. And
that's
like,
true.
Oh. And then, you know, and oh, if we, what about this? Oh. And, like,
that's
you know.
True. That's true. Seeing,
that's
like,
see.
Equations pop up in the air in, like, that, like, blue print that they do in graphics or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. But we're not getting none of that. She's just running around scared and being spooked as hell by this little girl named Jada. Let's talk about Jada.
Yeah. Jada done went and got her an imaginary friend who's not imaginary. She has befriended Big Monster Chris.
She the only one that's really seeing him and talking to him. Because everybody else is looking for him. But she playing with him and talking.
Truly. I imagine Chris came up to Jada and was like, hey, man. Welcome over to Death Row. We don't got our producers dancing in the music video. Come on, girl.
No, for real. Because that's how it gave. I do want to commend that actress who played Jada on the second time we see her. Her mama is braiding Vicaria's hair. And, well, I don't know if that's her mom or her big sister.
That's her big sister. That's her big sister.
Big sister. Her big sister's braiding Vicaria's hair. And Jada is, you know, playing around with her brother. They get in trouble. And so the big sister tells Jada, you need to go over there and study them alphabets. And so Jada picks up a book, goes to sit down and read it. And the big sister goes, without an attitude. Then Jada proceeds to recite the alphabet with the most attitude I've ever seen anyone
ever.
Recite the alphabet.
Ever. A. B. C.
D. Like... It was rich. I really liked it.
It was. Shout out to
the reason I had to bring that up is because by the time Jada start getting spooky, she then ends up studying the alphabet again, but it gets spooky when she's reciting
scary.
The alphabet.
Yeah.
Oh, I was scared.
Very. It was like scared. A possessed child. I'm like, oh my God. Ooh, somebody help her. Where is the priest? Bring him in. You got to save her.
So that's what Vicaria realizes is that, you know, everybody's looking for Chris, but Jada ass knows where he's at. He's living inside the wall in an abandoned apartment. And so she finally, there gets to be a showdown because the gangsters are killing each other over the missing drugs and all this type of stuff. Yeah. And she ends up, you know, locked in an apartment with Chris after he's strangled 2, 3, 4, 5 people. At this point.
A police officer. They dad. This is before he strangled their daddy, because that was where I was.
Yeah.
He done strangled 3, 4 gang members. Chris is on a binge.
Yeah, just going on a strangle-thon.
Strangle-thon is crazy.
My bad, y'all. I'm in a silly group. Now here is where, now to me, it fell off the tracks after they hit a lick. By the time we get to here, I'm like, oh, we're so far. The train is driving in the grass. Like, the train's not on track.
It's off the tracks. Because
they finally, you know, Kango gets killed in all of this. The daddy gets killed because she finally, Vicaria realizes, oh, if the electricity brought him to life, then maybe I could zap his ass dead.
Back. Yeah.
Maybe. So she runs and lures him to the laboratory and gets all the electricity ready and stuff. And once this happens, she has zapped the monster back dead. Okay?
Yes, she has.
Here come Jada ass.
Yeah. Well, Jada was already in the lab waiting for her.
Just spooky as ever.
Yeah. Me and Chris and play here all the time. Ooh, girl.
Oh my gosh, she's scared the hell out of me. This whole moment.
Yeah. Every time Jada popped up, that like quick pan to her, the sound effect. I was like, oh, child, Jesus.
It was scary. Oh, it was scary. Some scary shit.
Shit, it was.
Yeah. Ooh. And Jada's like, okay, now here, we have rested. We have, it's done. She zapped the monster back dead. Now Jada comes and says, well, now you know how to cure death. Can you bring back our family? So now we spend another scene going back to the apartment. And apparently he done, before Chris killed the daddy, he done killed all these other people.
Yeah.
The big sister, the mama over there.
The little brother. Yeah.
So then Vicaria brings all of them back to her laboratory. And brings them back to life.
She does.
She didn't fucking learn anything.
I think she learned. Okay, you're right. Because the lesson would be, like, unfortunately, like, once you are dead, you are dead. And you have to find ways to move on. Dead is dead. So that, I guess, would be the lesson. Okay. Because I'm trying to make things, like, you know, I'm trying to make the logic of a 17-year-old girl in my mind. It's been a while. But if you can bring back if you can bring back dead that you ain't mean to happen, then that's okay.
No, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense. If the movie is about, okay, she has externalized all of the trauma she's endured and all of the poverty, drug addiction, violence in her neighborhood. She's externalized it as being obsessed with death as a disease. The lesson to me should have been that she realizes, no, it's other stuff that is afflicting us, and we cannot solve what's done. We can't bring back the dead. But we can band together, help each other, and you know what I'm saying? Like, alleviate what we're going through a little bit. And I need to feel my feelings about this trauma. That should have been, she ended in the same place she started as a character.
Technically. Yeah. When you put it like that, technically she did. I'm trying to give her some grace. Okay. I mean, it's valid. It's fair. But I'm going to give that logic like the fantasy pass because it's a horror fantasy movie. But and for that reason, I'm going to let it go. For that reason alone, I'm going to let it go.
It's not how it's supposed to work.
I get that. It's but like horror don't work in real life anyway.
Out. If Daniel Kaluuya at the end but of Get Out, out I feel like
Get Out is a okay, that's true. Okay, because I was gonna say Get Out is a different kind of horror, but it's like you're not gonna hypnotize me with a tea glass, and have me up here with these white people and using my brain. No, you're not gonna do that. Okay, you're right. That's also fantasy type horror.
That's what I'm saying.
You're right.
So I'm not gonna be too hard on it because, like I said, every minute of this was like, oh my god, girl, then what? Oh my god, I can't look away. I can't stop watching.
I can't look away. But I'm scared.
Yeah. So I give it that. But I just wanted to. It was never gonna be a 10. It was never gonna be a 10. But yeah. Did I cover it all?
I think we did. We went top to bottom. I mean, I guess we never mentioned that the guy who played Kango is played by Denzel Whitaker, who we were both surprised to see since we most famously know him from his role as Junior on The Great Debaters.
Yeah.
So, you know, showed his range.
I was, the whole movie, I was like, damn, I know this guy from somewhere. And there's a moment where Vicaria confronts Kango and it's like, you've given my dad drugs. And Kango screams back like, I'm keeping him alive. And I was like, there he is. That's Junior.
There he is.
I see it. That's now. Him. From The Great Debaters, yes.
Yep.
The way he yelled at Forrest. Is just so like.
Yeah. He shakes his whole body. I love
yes.
it.
Yes.
It's like, it's
a body yeah. tremble. It's good.
It's,
I like
it. It is. It's good. Yeah. It works.
Yeah, man. So shout out to him. Yeah. It sounds like we done walked through the movie. I want to ask you a question for the first time. Season 5, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah. Ooh, let's get into it.
Who came to act?
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. I have a winner here, and then I also have a runner-up, and I'd like to hear if you have any different thoughts. I never open it up for your thoughts, but I figured, you know, I'm going to start it. We're going to do that sometimes this season. Yeah. So for this week's Who Came to Act Award nominee, I'd like to nominate Miss Imani Summer, who played Jada, because she scared the hell out of me this entire movie. And if that was her role, she delivered very well. And I see a bright future for this young lady. I hope she, you know, continues to work more and more and more and more and more. And for my runner-up, I like to nominate our lead actress, Miss Leia DeLeon Hayes. I think she also did a phenomenal performance in this film as well. But Jada really, like, she stuck me. I, like, saw her in my dreams last night. And woke up. So, yeah, it was scary.
Yeah. You know what? I cannot disagree. I very much agree with the nomination and the runner-up. Yeah. You said her name's Imani Summer.
Imani Summer, yep.
Yeah, she ate that down. She really did good. And our lead actress was really, like, the character of Ikaria, I believed that she believed all the stuff she was saying. You know,
she was saying she did.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, very good.
Yeah.
You know, and shout out to the writer-director behind this, because it's very creative. And the level of, commitment and, like, craft in the shout out to the production design too in the art department of this movie, because it was phenomenal. I fuck with that. Like, that's the only that's the simplest way I could put it. I really fuck with that. This is some real artistry going on. I can't wait to see more from this camp.
Oh my god, wait, was she Doc McStuffins? Vicaria. I don't know if she the actress who played her, I think she voiced Doc McStuffins. I'm looking at her IMDb. Iconic. Wow.
It's iconic behavior. It's iconic behavior.
Wow. It is. My God.
Yeah. Amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, man. Well, we back. We on for season 5. Things are going to work just a little bit differently this season. You know,
yes.
We're going to be giving y'all bam, bam, bam. We're going to hit you with about 10 to 15 episodes at a time, and then we're going to be taking more mid-season breaks. But you can keep up with all of that, and you make sure you don't miss nothing if you go over to thenewchillingcircuit.com, sign up for the newsletter, and you'll always know when we're on. You'll always know what's coming up that week, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's get out of here.
All right, y'all. Continue to be phenomenal.
Thanks for listening. To join in on the conversation, meet us in the Twitter streets at TNCCpod or over on Instagram at New Chitlin Circuit, spelled CHITLIN. And to keep up with our latest, visit our website at thenewchitlincircuit.com.